You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So what does the changing legal situation regarding marijuana in the states of Washington and Colorado do to the drug picture nationally? It's suddenly a question with the ballot measure legalization of pot in those states. Every year, approximately 750,000 people are arrested nationwide for marijuana-related offenses. In Colorado and Washington, prosecutors now have to take a new look at cases in those states and some challenging legal twists as well. For instance, can something be legal at the state level and illegal for the feds? Gregory Ajam-Forquero is a criminal defense attorney and legal expert on drug legislation. I asked him if the feds will take up a case that is dismissed by state prosecutors.
I don't think they're going to take the case, and I'll tell you why. First, I would venture to guess, maybe not 100%, but almost 100% of the marijuana possession charges are state charges and not federal charges. So if the federal government wants to weigh in, I would say that they're probably not going to be allowed because they probably don't have jurisdiction, because these are state charges brought by state authorities.
Where is the tension point going to emerge between the federal approach to marijuana possession and the state approaches in Washington and Colorado? Where are we going to see that?
It's kind of hard to predict, because the reason that there are federal charges regarding the possession of marijuana is not because the possession of marijuana is a crime. When we're talking federal charges, they're essentially saying that possessing marijuana is a state offense if it's grown and cultivated and sold and possessed within the state. But what the federal government said is, look, there's no way to determine whether or not that marijuana has crossed state lines and thus violated interstate commerce laws.
Finally, Gregory, how much does this clear the docket in the jurisdictions where it matters, like Washington and Colorado?
I would say it would clear the docket significantly. And, John, I would even say that it's going to be another issue. What about those individuals who were pulled over, arrested for marijuana because, say, it was in plain view in their car, and then the search incident to that lawful arrest of marijuana led to, say, possession of heroin, cocaine? Those cases, too, will be given a close look. And maybe because it all started with the marijuana, which is now in those states legal, they may have to dismiss those charges as well.
Gregory Gianforcaro is a criminal defense attorney and legal expert. A view from a defense attorney there. Joining us now is Kevin Sabet, who's a former senior advisor at the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
So, number one, does the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy suddenly set up a Colorado and Washington desk to monitor the different behaviors in that state? Or do you basically send the prosecutors out against lawbreakers from a federal perspective in these states where pot is now nominally legal?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question. It's a bit complicated. I think this is a legal question at this point. So the Department of Justice is rightly taking a very hard look at all the different initiatives. There are many aspects of the initiatives that are not tripping up federal law, including limits on drugged driving, including some of the other discussions about removal of penalties for possession. The defense attorney who was just on rightfully said possession really has never been an issue federally, even though it is illegal from a federal perspective, but it's always really been in the purview of state and local. The issue becomes the growth and cultivation, manufacture, and really the retail sales, and when the local jurisdiction starts making money, for example, tax money, what happens to those proceeds? That's when it becomes an issue from the federal perspective. There are many different routes the feds can take. They can wait for it to actually happen and then, you know, sue or seek an injunction. They can preempt by sending warning letters from their U.S. attorneys in Washington and Colorado, like they have done with medical marijuana very forcefully this administration. They can also, so there are a lot of different routes that they can take at this point.
It's also the case that they could just as easily put this all in the Department of Agriculture and just to create a regulatory regime that would enforce the same intent that comes from the criminal side. Just put it into the, you know, the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, I mean, probably not at this point, because that would include an act of Congress. And I think this administration and President Obama has been very clear that he opposes marijuana legalization, even if some of his supporters, you know, maybe wish that he didn't. I think this Congress also has been very clear, including, you know, the Senate and including the Democratic Senate, people like Dianne Feinstein, who have said that, you know, we are really going to take a hard look at this from a congressional perspective in terms of the way federal law is being enforced. So I don't think this is going to be turned over to agriculture just yet. This clearly retail sales and commercialization and this being sold with a state's permission is going to trip up federal law. The question is, what route? Does the legal what does the legal route look like is really the question on everyone's minds.
There are serious federal issues in the state of Washington and Colorado. If you're at Fort Lewis and you fail a urine test for now legal pot, you're bounced out of the military, yes?
Yes, you are, including there's also issues with the VA, with the Veterans Administrations in these areas still being federal. There are issues with public lands that are federal lands. So, you know, it's going to cause a lot of headaches. I think we can, unfortunately, this culmination of what's happened in Washington and Colorado, I think, is this emblematic of the sort of thinking that we either have to go towards legalization or full criminalization and prohibition, and as if that's our only alternative. And I think that's an unfortunate state of affairs, because we've seen there are very innovative ways by using treatment, by using drug courts, by using community coalitions that remove the risk factors that enable kids to use drugs. There are a lot of other things we can do that are not so extreme, frankly, on either side. Unfortunately, the pro-legalization side spent about $5 million in each state and was able to convince those voters that they're going to be able to get tax money and save public education with legal pot. Frankly, I'm still waiting for the lottery to save public education with its legal proceeds, and we haven't seen that happen. So I think there were a lot of empty promises, and it's a really unfortunate development.
Kevin Sabet, former senior advisor at the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.